Recorded live at the wonderful Big Sushi Studio, it's my pleasure to introduce you to Slaughter Film.
Hello, you filthy animals. I am Corey. I put it where it hurts, Carr. And I am accompanied, as always, by Forrest. There's a finger in my butt. I know it, Taylor. And this is Slaughter Film, the weekly podcast devoted to reviewing the films that are legendary, even in hell.
And joining us this time is our good friend John Linvey, who I forgot to announce last time, so he didn't say anything. So, hi, how's it going?
It was really awkward to sit here in total silence when, like, I had the mic and everything set up, and you guys we were even, like, speaking before, like, we went in about, like, the things we were going to talk about, and then no one ever acknowledged that I existed. So
I'm
I was
sorry.
Just like, well, I don't want to be like that guy, like, you forgot about me, asshole. You know, like, that's no.
You should have, because I really just got nervous and forgot, because I never announced somebody before, so.
This is like, I don't know, like a time in a bad relationship. Like, you know what you did.
Yeah.
I don't want to
talk to you. I thought you guys were like, we don't want him doing the show anymore.
No.
Like, he's making the episode so much longer. He's just fucking everything up. He keeps, like, trying to throw jokes in our show. Our show is not funny. It's serious.
Serious stuff.
Yeah,
when I talk about pooping myself, that's serious stuff.
Right. And I didn't, so I just, I figured,
you know. Our older audience, you know, identifies with the pooping
yeah.
the pants.
Right.
They can't help it.
This is a classy, sophisticated show. So this time we are Corey is talking about the new Texas Chainsaw Massacre that came out now in
3D.
In stunning 3D.
I have to admit, though, all three of the D's were present.
Oh, okay.
Except breasts.
Oh, well, that's no fun.
What's the other D's?
You know, the actual three dimensions, but,
you
know.
I thought you were talking about, like, dicks and more dicks and, I don't know, douchebags.
No.
Dicks, douchebags, no. And dookie.
Those are the three Bs.
Actually, the three Bs weren't there either.
Really?
Breasts, beasts, and shit. Like, you had Leatherface.
Troma would be so disappointed.
Oh. Yeah, there has to be a lot of, like, golden rules like that for horror, right?
Yes.
Well, kind of, you'd think, but. Well, sometimes some franchises class it up. You know, the Scream franchise doesn't have boobies.
That's yeah. true.
Actually, Texas Chainsaw, I mean, throughout all the movies,
yeah,
it might just be
really
like
doesn't.
One or two pair out of like all of the
one
18
or
movies or
yeah.
something.
Yeah. Well, we can't all be Friday the 13th Part 4.
Right,
so.
That's true.
But I am not talking about any movie because this is Slaughter Film and I apparently forgot the film part. I am reviewing a place. I am reviewing... Eerie legendary haunted spot Axe Murder Hollow and how it has changed over the years. But first of all, what'd you do this week, my man?
This week was one of those weeks that I didn't have any time to myself, but I don't know
yeah.
why. Like, looking back, like, what the... I was really busy. I did stuff, right? Like, what did I do? I don't...
Dude,
fuck,
welcome
I don't
to
know.
The past 6 months for me. Holy shit.
What I did do, though, I had some gift card money, gift certificates and stuff.
Oh,
I went and
yeah.
bought Frank Miller's, the first two volumes of his Sin City. You know?
Cool.
Because,
nice.
Of course, I'd seen the movie, and like I kind of knew what the stories were about. You know, his like gritty film noir type storytelling, crime dramas and whatever. But I never actually sat down and read them, mm-hmm. and so Saturday I went out and bought Volume 1, and I'm like, okay, cool, I'm going to give this a shot, because a few months ago I read a handful of his Frank Miller's Daredevil stuff.
Mm-hmm. His Batman's great.
Yeah.
Frank Miller's Batman's probably my favorite Batman.
Yeah, well, Year One helped inspire Christopher Nolan for
right.
Batman Begins. But yeah, the Daredevil stuff, I've always heard of how interesting it is and how good it is, and so I read some of it. I'm like, wow, that was pretty good. Now I have like a Frank Miller boner, so I got the first volume of Sin City, and as soon as I was done reading it, and I'm like, tomorrow, Sunday, I'm going back and I'm going to buy the volume.
Yeah, I love it when that happens, when you find like a good
yeah.
author, or even like movies, like directors.
Oh,
I've had that same thing happen before, and like... speaking of comic books, Randy, who's been on the show, he actually got me that last volume of Unknown Soldiers. So I can finally finish that
off.
Oh,
cool.
Off.
You know, I was actually looking for that at the bookstore,
yeah.
and they had 1, 2, 3, 4 was missing.
Randy bought it.
Oh, well.
I actually got store credit from Best Buy because I bought something that ended up being not what I needed, so I had to return it. But all they would give me was store credit. They wouldn't give me money
Dicks.
Back.
That's
yeah,
weird.
Well, I had it longer than the 30-day period, that,
oh,
so they just gave me store credit.
Was it
so,
a vibrator?
Well, of course, but
Best Buy sells vibrators?
Well, no, it's like one of those like as seen on TV, like massage.
Yeah,
neck massage.
You got to do what you got to do. But so yeah, I figured I got to use the store
dick
credit.
Neck.
But so I figured I had to use the store credit for something. But
Wait, Best Buy's dick? I was using it on my asshole. Damn it!
Different strokes for different folks. How did this all go?
Hey.
So anyway. I'm trying to find some like movies, and Best Buy's movie selection is really anemic. Like,
yeah,
they have
everything
that was out last year, and that's it. So I'm like, fuck this. So I decided to start looking for this through their CDs, but
that's
not
the
much
same
there.
Too.
But I was able to find some stuff, but my choices were kind of funny, so I want to talk about it now because I got Smashing Pumpkins, Melancholy, and the Infinite Sadness. You know, the double disc thing they let out.
Yeah,
and then. Because I'm a hardcore gangster, I got Wu-Tang Clan's 36 Chambers.
No, there's nothing funny about that CD. That CD is fucking incredible.
That CD is incredible, but when people see me, and I know you can't see me right now, but trust me, I'm like the whitest white boy ever,
dude,
and I don't really...
I constantly, when I'm out, and I'm a lanky redheaded asshole, right? Like white, pale, redheaded ginger, and I'm out in public, and I will regularly quote fucking things from Wu-Tang, and I get the craziest looks, but then I get that nod of like, yeah, okay, that's cool, you know that shit. I'm like, yeah.
I was gonna shoot you, but now maybe I won't.
Right, yeah, exactly. Like, we thought you were just some fucking cracker, but now you have some flavor, and I'm like, I've been trying, so thank you for saying that. That's all I've ever wanted to hear, ever.
So, yeah. Wu-Tang Clan ain't nothing to fuck with. But then
they aren't.
Also, I saw 2001 Space Odyssey for the second time on the big screen. Last time I was at the Art Museum. This time I was actually at the big theater. But what we were talking about the other day about people bringing their stupid fucking kids to the theater came true. Because some parents had the bright idea to bring their five-year-old to a 2-hour and 40-minute movie where there's only like 5% dialogue.
Right.
She was talking the entire time, and
you thought they were annoyed by Wally.
Oh, dude! And I was like getting so mad, but I don't want to be mad at the kid because she's a kid, and I don't blame a 5-year-old getting bored at 2001.
Right.
But I was like envisioning pulling out a fucking battle axe and just going to town on her parents because
whoa,
they're idiots.
Whoa!
Hey, be careful. Hey, then we'll have to outlaw battle axes.
Oh, no.
Easy with the language, please.
I'm sorry. Fortunately, in that movie, there's an intermission, so during that, we all just packed up and like sat closer so we couldn't hear her talking. But that movie's so quiet. It was so quiet I could hear like the air conditioning running in the theater.
Yeah.
And that's the worst place to have talking kids.
Yeah.
If there were talking kids during fucking Battleship, no one would even notice because Battleship's probably the loudest movie in the universe.
Battleship's pretty okay.
Okay. Well, that's why
I handed it to you before the show. I said, hey, you should
watch
this.
Is it the loudest movie in the universe?
It's not the loudest movie in the
universe.
Okay. It's got Rihanna in it, and she's pretty tough.
Okay.
she's quite strong. Despite her physique.
Is she a strong, independent woman?
There's a great scene with her on a Gatling gun.
I think I saw that in the trailers.
Yep.
She really. What I like about her is she really knows how to carry a black eye. She can really pull that off. Too much?
Not for me. That was funny. But, yeah, that's pretty much it for me. Wu-Tang Clan in 2001. That's my life. So how about you, man?
Well, I have like so many weeks to recount.
That's true. Sorry.
There was the week where you took a break for Christmas. Then there was the other week that I just sat your quiet.
When I became a dickhead. I'm sorry.
So I've seen actually a lot of movies. You guys have all seen Hobbit now, right?
Yes.
We've never talked about it on here.
No.
No.
You mentioned it in our top five thing, but that's
about
it.
Be coming out later this week.
Anticipated top five.
Yes.
So I saw Hobbit, and I also watched our very first movie from our very first podcast together.
Oh, yeah.
Prometheus. I sat down and watched through that. It took me a couple times because I would start it and then something would happen at the leave. And I hate resuming movies.
Yeah.
So I always start over just because it's better. And it's an interesting movie. It's I think I went back. I need to go back and listen to that episode because I think we talked about how everyone shits on David. And David's probably like the coolest dude.
He is. He's my favorite character.
And actually, I have one question about this. And I think this will be it. So, like, she has that giant alien in her, right? And she gets it out, and then no one ever acknowledges the fact that she
No,
like that whole thing happened.
It's
right?
just forgotten about with instantly.
Now, like on one level, it's like it's kind of interesting because, like, obviously David doesn't give a fuck because he basically set it up on purpose for that to happen.
Right.
But everyone else is just kind of totally ignoring the fact that she's like naked, covered in blood, like after birth, and just like bleeds staples on her stomach, and just generally like pissed off and like fucked up. Everyone's like, "What?" And she's like, "What are you doing?" She's like, "Well, we're gonna go talk to the makers now." Okay. She's like bleeding and crawling. She's like so distraught, and everyone's like, "Okay, here we go."
You know, there's one thing I didn't think about until recently was it seems like in each of these movies, there's an android that you just shouldn't fucking trust.
Mm-hmm.
And well, like we're their creators; we made them in a sense. You know, we're their god.
Yeah.
So is that why God is so untrusting of us? He keeps making hurricanes and shit. They lie. These people lie. I need to come up with it. Volcanoes. Yes, I'll invent volcanoes.
Great. Yes. But it's a pretty cool movie, I think. And the throw out to the alien stuff at the very end is nice.
Yeah. Even though the aliens looking kind of weird, like I don't know why it looks so different.
Well, yeah, because it's the first generation. Oh, like, I mean, that giant that, and it's also it's from the maker's DNA, yeah. not from human DNA.
Yeah. I'll allow it. Okay. That's cool.
It's got to evolve, son. Relax. I mean, okay, it was a giant octopi at one point.
That's
now
true.
It's an alien.
They had a snake thing. And remember the toys? There was like the gorilla or something,
yeah.
the bull.
That's true. I did write a whole review about
what
that.
What is did the artist that basically inspired...
H.R. Giger.
Is he still alive?
I think so.
I think he died recently. But
oh, really?
I could be mistaken.
Did he?
Because
I was going to ask, because they obviously like use a lot of his work as inspiration for Prometheus. Because a lot of like the science from the makers,
right,
or engineers, or whatever they're calling them.
Yeah,
all the set design basically comes right out of his Necronomicon book.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
So.
Yeah. Like he did the early alien stuff.
Yeah. I mean, I knew he was tied to that stuff originally. I just wasn't sure if he was still working with Cameron on that stuff or not.
I don't think so. Just they took the original design from the movie and just went with it. You know?
Yeah.
But
it's a cool movie. I'm happy to have watched it finally and see it, but. There's The Hobbit, but I think we could probably spend a whole podcast.
Yes,
talking
we could spend
about
a whole
that.
Podcast talking.
Maybe
about
we should
Hobbit.
Do that sometime.
There's a belly neck.
There is a belly neck.
Goblin King has a belly neck.
Well, he's a king. He can just sit there and get fat. You know,
I
he doesn't
guess so.
You liked it, right?
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't The Lord of the Rings. You
that's
know, the other movies.
So
that's
I,
how
so,
I, feel
so
about
I recently
it.
Went. So my wife has never seen The Lord of the Rings ever, like not
what?
Even proper. So she wants to see him now. She's always been interested in it, and we watched the first one. And I was surprised at how much more I liked Lord of the Rings, the very first one, than over The Hobbit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Which is really frustrating to me because I like The Hobbit story more.
Uh-huh. I can see that.
And I like all the actors. I like Martin Freeman a lot, and I just didn't like him in The Hobbit.
No, I thought he was okay in The Hobbit, but The Hobbit's, it's not as epic as Lord of the Rings. I don't know. It feels like Lord of the Rings light, you know.
Well, the thing is, it is, but it feels like they're trying to make it.
Yeah,
they're trying to make it as epic as Lord of the Rings. But the thing is, The Hobbit's not.
It's
unexpected adventure. That's it. That's all it is. Yeah. Well,
it was okay. I've been trying to convince my sister to watch The Lord of the Rings actually too, because she's a huge Willow fan. And I'm like, dude, Lord of the Rings is like Willow times 100.
Willow's badass.
Willow is badass.
Nothing's got shit on Willow.
But Lord of the Rings is like Willow with like a ginormous budget and like
a whole
country working behind it.
But like, could Willow stand up to three DVDs, like three-hour movies?
I don't know. Maybe.
I don't think so, man.
I want to know if on Christopher Lee's driver's license, it under his age, it just says forever.
Well, he's 90
something.
Now, isn't he?
Yeah.
Who is the guy who plays Gandalf?
Ian McKellen.
He just announced that he has prostate cancer. Did
yes,
you hear about
I know.
That? Yeah,
I
that's
know.
A bummer.
That is a bummer.
But they
finish up, make these movies.
Yep.
Yeah,
that's
they better.
What it comes down to.
Well, it's because it's like what happened with the Harry Potter. Because the guy,
Richard Harris.
Yeah, he passed away during in between movies, right?
Yep. And then didn't they get Ian McKellen to play? So he's just spent the better part of a decade just
being
having
old.
Wizard beards glued to his face.
Watching interviews with him is hilarious because he's just like the most flamboyant,
like
homosexual ever. Yeah. It's great. I love it. But like he's like, and it's really great watching him interview.
I love, he had a quote once where he said after he came out, like, suddenly he was asked to, you know, speak at all these, like, gay rallies and stuff like that. And he said, there are times I just want to go back into the closet. Then I found that it's full of other actors.
Have you seen Gods and Monsters?
No, but I want to. I don't know why I haven't watched it yet.
It's pretty good. I have. Yeah. I'll let you borrow it.
Okay, cool. It's been on my Netflix queue for, like, 2 years now, but I have other stuff in front of it, so, you know.
He's just a gay guy.
Yes. Well, he's the director of Frankenstein, man.
Yeah, that's true. But it was funny to see him, you know, playing the director of I think it was Bride of Frankenstein.
Yeah.
That shows him. And he's, like, being really catty and sort of gay, like, with the actors and stuff.
Right.
And I'm like, this is fucking wild.
It was Hollywood. No one cares.
I know, but, like, when you watch those movies, you don't really think much about, like, sex or anything,
yeah,
like that,
right.
But then see, like, the behind the scenes of what it might have been, and it's, like, not necessarily too far different from what it might be today.
Right.
In the 30s, it's just sort of weird, and then, like, they're on the set, they're, like, on the laboratory, so there's all kinds of, like, you know, made up electrodes and things in the background, and I'm just like, what the fuck am I watching? It was a good time, though.
So, what I'm talking about, not too much happened to me for, like, movies. Like I said, I saw 2001, and, like, now that the year's over, all of my movies I've been wanting to see for the past year are on Netflix. So I've been watching a lot of, like, arty foreign films and, like, stuff that only five people have seen, which doesn't really match the slaughter film, like, feel, you know?
Right.
So I don't really have much to talk about. But for Christmas, my brother got me this frame picture of this, like, angry apparition brandishing an axe, and it's supposedly a picture of, like, Axe Murder Hollow. And I started thinking about that. For those of you who don't live in the area, Axe Murder Hollow is, like, an area of woodland that is haunted by an angry axe murderer ghost. Everyone in this area knows about it. Nobody else knows about it. I've heard about it all my life, and I've visited the place, like, a couple of times, and nothing ever happened. But I just started thinking about the legend, and I was like, what is the truth behind all this? And I found some interesting tales, which I would like to read to you today. So gather around, my children, and I shall tell you a scary story.
Should I cue up like scary music for
yes,
this?
Yes.
Some burning like campfire sound.
Yeah. All right, I'm on.
Everyone get their marshmallows, and I'm going to tell you a scary story. Susan and Ned drove through a wooded, empty section of the highway. Lightning flashed and thunder roared, and the sky went dark as it began to rain. It was a torrential downpour. Susan suggested they find a place to stop. When Ned nodded in agreement, he stepped on the brake to slow. Suddenly, the car began to slide on the slick pavement. The car plunged off the road and slid to a halt at the bottom of the incline. Pale and shaken, Ned quickly turned to check on Susan, but she was unhurt. He told her to stay put as he went to check on the damage. Susan watched from behind a rain-streaked window shield and saw his blurry figure in the headlights. Ned jumped back into the car, soaked to the bone. He told her the car wasn't damaged, but stuck deep in the mud. He instructed Susan to stay in the car, lock the doors, and turn the headlights off until he got back with help. Susan followed Ned's instructions and sank deep into the front seat and shivered. For you see, Ned and Susan had broken down at Axe Murder Hollow. Dun, dun, dun. This was a place where a man had once taken an axe and hacked his wife to death in a jealous rage over an alleged affair. Outside the car, Susan heard a shriek, a loud thump, and a strange gurgling noise, but she couldn't see anything in the darkness. Susan was frightened and sank back into the seat. She sat in silence for a while and then heard another noise. It was soft and sounded like something being blown in the wind. Suddenly, the car was illuminated by a bright light. Susan heard an official-sounding voice, and it told her to get out of the car. She thought Ned must have found a police officer, so she unlocked the door and stepped out of the car. But as her eyes adjusted to the bright light, she saw it. Hanging by his feet from the tree next to the car was Ned's dead body. His throat had been cut so deeply that he'd been nearly decapitated. The wind swung his corpse back and forth so it thumped against the tree. Susan screamed and ran toward the voice and light. As she drew close, she realized the light was not coming from a flashlight. Standing there was a glowing figure of a man with a smile on his face and a large, solid axe in his hands. The last thing she saw was the glint of the axe blade in the eerie, incandescent light. Ooh, scary. this is a story that originated because in these woods, there is this old, creepy, like, farmhouse. And the story goes that apparently in the late 1800s or early 1900s, there was a farmer and his wife who lived there. And the farmer's wife had an affair with a farmhand. The farmer got jealous and hacked them both to pieces with an axe. and then killed himself by burning his house down, because now all we can find there is the foundation of the house. As for the Susan and Ned story, this is where the legend originated. That's 100% bullshit. This started out.
God damn it! You had me.
I'm so sorry, but I gotta say it.
Stories are the worst. There are always
like a million
fake.
Of like versions of that same story.
I know. It's like I was digging it, and then I found out that this originated on like a radio station in the 60s. They used to tell a story every Halloween or whatever.
Isn't it usually like the man who escaped with the hook hand,
yeah,
and the two yeah. are on a date.
It's
like,
the hook
it's
hand
story.
Legend, except now with an axe guy. But so it started on the radio, and they said the story was fiction, and they just told it as a scary story on Halloween. But you know, tell a lie enough times, and sooner or later, people believe that it's true.
Right.
Doing my research on this place, I found so many different things. Like I've heard first it was the farmer and his wife, and she was having an affair with the farmer's brother. Then the brother became a farmhand. Then they had children, who the farmer also murdered. Then either burning the house down, which wasn't true, because I guess the house was still there until, like, the 80s. So then it became he shot himself. then there was even a story where it was the wife who was mad at the daughter for, like, running off with some guy, and she was the one that murdered all the people. So she's the ghost. I just love these urban legend stories of how they – because, like, you know, like, if something did happen – it's something that happened so long ago, it's gotten lost in the pages of time or whatever, and right. now everyone just tells... It becomes like a game of telephone, you know?
Yeah, and, they tell how they remember it.
Yeah, and it's just so weird. Like, there are so many, like, murders out there. Why do some of them become urban legends and some don't? Because this one might not even be fucking true.
Yeah. The game of telephone sucks because, like, the end message is always way fucking cooler.
It is!
Than because, like, you know what? I guarantee the origin of this story is, like, a dude dropped an axe on his foot and
yeah.
like he just yelled about it. Yeah. Oh, my foot. Damn it.
But the house
that was Axe Murder Hollow now.
He without sin cast the first axe.
The first axe, yes.
Right.
But the place itself is pretty creepy. The most interesting thing about the place, and I don't know why this is, but everyone talked about it, and I thought back to when I visited the place, and I was like, they're right. There's no wildlife noise. Like, you know, usually going to the woods and you hear, like, crickets or frogs or something. There's nothing. It's, like, creepily silent.
It's all the meth labs out there.
I guess. That's probably what it is. But the house itself, I never saw the house, obviously. I just saw the foundation. But it's built right by a ravine that leads down to a creek. And over the years, the ravine has, like, you know, fallen away more and more. And supposedly, if you open up the back door, it just opens up to a ravine. Like, you yeah. just open up, there's just a chasm out there. That's actually why the house got torn down, because it was considered a hazard, and damn kids kept, like, going up there and everything. And
right.
It was originally a place just where, like, college guys took their girlfriends to fucking, like, scare them or whatever, you know. But then the place got torn down, and then the legend still remained. The scariest thing that's real there is that supposedly a gypsy, like, commune or whatever groups of gypsies are called,
yeah.
they are there. And they don't want people in there. So if you park your car, they'll fucking throw stones at it. And if you go outside, they'll attack you with baseball bats and crowbars and shit.
Jesus. Even then, that's like, how much of that is a story?
I don't know. Because I, like I said, I went there, I think, twice. And I never encountered anybody. There's also a rumor that it's actually privately owned property. And there's, like, a farmer that actually owns that place. And if he hears people out there, he'll load his shotgun with, like, rock salt and shoot at you.
Yeah.
Again,
kind of,
nothing.
That seems pretty. See, in the early 2000s, a friend of mine and I went out there.
Yeah.
And there is a house that was supposed to be the gypsy's house.
And oh,
it
yeah.
looked all run down with just a bunch of, like, bric-a-brac everywhere. Mm-hmm. So I'm just like, yeah, I guess that makes sense. There's a gypsy's house.
I suppose, yep.
And then we got out of the car and started looking through the woods. And we didn't know where to look once we were in the woods. So, of course, we didn't find anything.
Yeah.
But apparently, there was a set of stairs that led down to the fruit cellar.
Okay.
And it was like – it was one of those things, like, if you count how many stairs down into the cellar and then count them back up, like, the number's different, and so it's all supernatural and creepy.
Ooh, creepy.
We never found any stairs or anything because, mm-hmm. as luck would have it, you know, my friend and I are just doofing through the woods, like, throwing sticks at trees. Like, oh, there's nothing here. This is bullshit. And then out of nowhere, these two young girls, like our age,
hey.
Are also looking for, like, this haunted house.
This is such a slasher movie situation.
I know. And so immediately
ladies.
We're like, what the fuck were we looking for? There are these chicks, man.
Pussy. You were looking
awesome.
For pussy.
And then, of course, like they introduce themselves and like, this is fucking cool. Like how often
Ivana Fuckalob and Pussy Galore.
That time in our age, our age, like we're getting out of the awkward teenage thing, but we're still like, of all the places to meet a girl, we certainly wouldn't imagine the middle of the woods. So we're caught off guard and don't know what the fuck to say. You know what I mean? So we're just like,
so you like woods?
Yeah, right. I got wood. Fuck. I was supposed to not say that. But then they introduce themselves, and the one girl, her name, or at least that, like her nickname or what she went by, was Dee Dee.
Okay.
And I'm like, she looks like she probably does. A couple of double D's there. I just want to... And I'm thinking this shit instead of actually saying things to like, oh, well, it's nice to meet you. And how did you hear about the legend? And so instead I'm just like fantasizing about her titties while I'm standing in front of her. And I'm like, they immediately left. And then we were like, wow, that was neat. In retrospect, no, we're a couple of fucking dorks in the woods and we look like dorks.
I loved stories of awkward teenageness. When I went there, I went with like 12 of my friends. There was a huge group of us and
a rat pack.
Yeah, and we're all giant nerds, so a bunch of us like brought katana swords and shit. we were just in there LARPing and shit.
Oh god! All right, guys, it's been real. I gotta go. I think I'm just maxed out right there.
We didn't see much either. We did eventually find the foundation of the house, but all we did was we're all slasher fans. We're just talking about like which one of us would die and which ones would survive in this sort of situation.
Yeah.
And we'd all fucking die, you know.
I can just picture you and your bros out of there, like
samurai swords and shit,
tree limbs, just like. That dude, the axe dude comes, I'm just gonna do a
that's right,
like, that would take him down.
Take that, you damn ghost.
I was talking to one of our friends, Harvey, the other day, and I told him what we were going to be talking about today.
Yeah.
And so we talked a little bit about Axe Murder Hollow, and he said it's funny because now, if you know, he's like, if I'm not mistaken, there's like a development on that.
Yeah,
so if for there to be a legend, that makes perfect sense, because at one time there was this house where a guy killed his wife and a farmhand and then burned to death in. And then later, it's been built on, so now you have, like, poltergeist.
That's poltergeist right there, yeah.
It writes itself.
There's a surprising a lot of local urban legends.
Yeah,
did you hear about, like, the Goatman in Meadville?
No,
I missed that one.
Heard
no.
of that one.
That sounds awesome.
It was in the reader for the Halloween episode for special or whatever.
Oh wait, I did hear about that.
You should look up the Goat Man. It's pretty good.
Okay,
it's another one of those things where like a couple were out and then all of a sudden got assaulted by a monstrous Goat Man.
Yeah, because that was the last thing I was going to talk about was. How, you know, we have these cool legends and it becomes a part of this because every town has these, like, ghost stories and, like, legends or whatever. But I hate that, like, the place has been developed now. Like, now there's, like, housing. Because now,
gone.
Like, we were the last people to experience Axe Murder Hollow. Now, like, coincidentally enough, the foundation of the house was the last place to be sold. But now that has been torn down, like, a house has been built over it or whatever. That's bullshit. It made me think about, I never got to see the covered bridge.
Oh, Gudgeonville Bridge?
Yeah, because, for those of you not in the area, there's a bridge called Gudgeonville Bridge.
And everyone who's listening to this that's not from here should be like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Sorry.
I want to go to these places.
But yeah, it's this old covered bridge that supposedly, was it haunted or whatever? Like, what is the...
The legend is actually goofy. Like, it sounds as goofy as, like, the Goat Man or whatever.
What is it?
It was an old bridge that... The story's weird. It's about this cranky old farmer and... He was, you know, taking a donkey across it one day. Like, he just bought it. Or the donkey was carrying something for him, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't go over the bridge. And the guy flew off the handle and somehow pushed it over the bridge into the water. And then it died.
Yeah, I heard
so now
this.
When you go there, you can hear donkey noises.
It's
like,
a donkey
the donkey
ghost.
Ghost. Since then, it's been covered. And it has been covered for, like, 100 years until recently.
When a drunk asshole decided to just throw a Molotov cocktail on it and burn the place down. Like,
right. Which
who
is
does
really,
that?
Really shitty because, it drew teenagers to the area.
Yeah.
And a lot of people that live there are like, what the fuck? And it was like covered in spray paint
because
of teenagers.
Right.
So it makes me think maybe it was even like a neighbor. They were like, fuck this. And, you know, one night he drank most of the bottle and then lit the rest on fire. It's been rebuilt, but it's not all
it's
old
not the
and
same.
Creepy. And,
yeah.
You know.
Right.
So, that's pretty much it. That's all I want to talk. It's like how there's these cool, like, legends throughout, like, these towns, but then modernization comes creeping in.
I think
you
we
know,
should. I think we should start our own new urban legend.
Just like make
urban
up some legend.
We
and
should.
Say,
we like, should that, like. We should like workshop this and then like just start telling everyone about it. Like, hey, did you hear about that thing out in McCain?
Because we have all kinds of like hindsight as to like what yeah. should be involved in these stories yeah, and
guys,
the area.
Yeah, so you guys can, watch enough movies, you could fucking.
I am totally.
And honestly, and also to be like bummed out about that it got built upon. No, that's awesome. Because like now yeah, you can like you, totally. Now what you can do is you can find out what address it is and just start sending them shit.
Right. Yeah, we can just haunt them.
Like every once in a while, they just get like an axe in the mail. Like, what the fuck?
Well, that would be the coolest thing ever if all of a sudden, like, mysterious things started happening in the old Axe Murder Hollow. We keep the legend
alive.
What
are you talking about? Mysterious things have already started happening.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot.
We go up there with like a trunk full of axes and
just
stuff,
start, like,
and we realize
like,
that
we like, stick them in like in the gutters and shit, just like all over the place.
Well, we realize that it's not like anyone's house; it's like the new PA State Police headquarters. Like, oh, maybe
oh
we
shit!
Have done that.
No, Jesus.
Fuck.
Oh, okay. No. So yeah, that's it. Hope you guys enjoyed this scary tale and Adventures of Forrest doesn't have anything to talk about today. So
I think thinking about you in the woods with dudes and
with katana swords
is enough for the admission, for the price of admission. It's totally fine, which is free, by the way.
Actually, you could probably ask Randy about that. I think Randy was one of the ones.
That's funny.
Oh my god.
Talking about the Hobbit, you were on an unexpected adventure.
We were on an unexpected adventure that night. But yeah, now it's time for another story that is based on true, except no, it's not.
Well, kind of, sort of, a little
not
bit.
Not really, though.
But not now. Not anymore, anyway. So yeah, a little film came out earlier this year. I thought that was funny.
Earlier this year, yeah, you know, like 2 days ago.
Yeah. Texas Chainsaw 3D.
Ooh.
I love how nowadays it's like there was Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Yeah.
And now people get to make a different movie, but with the same title, but it's different because you put 3D at the end, like Piranha 3D. And, like, it reminds me of back in the day when Nintendo 64 came out, and it was like, oh, what are you playing? Mario 64. Oh, that looks like Star Fox 64. Like, they just put the name of the thing after it.
That's Nintendo's whole business strategy.
Well, at least they don't do the like the really dumb thing where they put the 3D as part of the name. You know
oh,
what I mean?
Yeah.
Where it's like in there, or like the the E in Texas would be the 3.
Oh,
like, oh
yeah.
Fuck you, marketers.
What if you had like some movie just called Ed and it was Ed 3D? Oh fuck.
I hope that happens now.
Yeah, and if you have Seth MacFarlane, he could be a giant teddy bear.
Yeah.
He's talking about Ted.
Huh? Oh, anyway.
You don't get out enough.
At least
get with times, man.
Surprisingly, Forrest bailed me out of that one.
Yeah.
Thank you, Forrest.
So, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, or Texas Chainsaw 3D, I guess is how it's called, is supposed to be the direct sequel to the original.
Beast and me.
So do you know anything about this place? Just the address.
It's caged by frail and fragile bars.
Wow.
Restless by day and by night. Rants and rages.
Look like Granny likes to play a little pool.
What exactly did Granny do for a living?
I have no idea. I just learned about her yesterday.
The beast in me.
Which, when that first got like announced, there was a lot of hype around that. Because when you hear it's a sequel to the original, I pictured like the 70s or shortly after,
yeah.
Like the 80s, and you know, there was some continuity. Well, it takes place in modern times.
Oh,
what?
Not medieval times, but modern times. And the story is what connects it, which sort of negates the sequel, and then the second sequel, and then the third sequel. and probably the prequel and its sequel.
Yeah, so they're just totally like retconning the whole thing.
Apparently,
well, it doesn't say it. It isn't set up in a way that all that other stuff doesn't happen. But what the fuck are the chances?
You know? Right.
So, how about I dive into this?
Okay.
Well, no, actually, I have to explain something. When Friday the 13th remake came out, I don't dig remakes for reasons that I don't need to explain. And even, like, modern sequels, like, I'll get around to seeing them, but I'm not going to fucking go pay, like, $8, because it's not going to be that good.
You mean the sequel to the movie that came out, like, 20 years ago?
Any sequel. Oh, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Especially a sequel to a remake. Fuck. But when Friday the 13th came out, we went and saw it in the theater, but we brought flasks. We just got kind of drunk watching it, and it was a far better experience, you know? And this being a sequel to an old movie, but then because it's modern, it might as well be a remake, which it kind of wasn't. I was pleased. I didn't expect much.
Yeah.
So on the way to the theater, I stopped at the local liquor store, and I bought a little bottle of Bacardi, and I snuck it in my pocket. So there I am with, like, 20 or 30 other people in the theater just, like, sipping from this bottle. I'm like, I don't care what the fuck's in this movie. It's gonna be good because I'm a little tipsy. So, yeah, to put everything in the perspective, I was a little drunk while I watched it. And there were a few things that I'll point out that were better because I was
right. Okay. So you heard it here first. Slaughter Film says Texas Massacre 3D is better while drunk.
Well, maybe not overall, but there are certainly some parts that I enjoyed a hell of a lot while intoxicated.
Better with alcohol.
Don't drink and drive. Anyway.
Thank you.
So the film starts with this Heather Miller chick. She's played by Alexandra Daddario, I think is her name. She's really cute and has only been in a handful of things, and that's that. So she's living with her boyfriend, and one day, you know, he goes to get the mail, and she gets a letter from some lawyer in Texas. So she opens it up, and, oh, my grandmother died, and she left me some stuff in her will. That's weird. I didn't know. I thought, you know, my grandmother had already passed. You know, who's this? So she goes to talk to her parents, and they're like, well, you got us. You're adopted.
Is that the exact line? I really hope
no.
So.
Oh. So she's like, what? All this time you never told me? I'm like a grown woman now. I'm like, you know, 22. I'm just like, how do you keep something like that secret all this time? They're like, oh, you're better off, believe me. You know, those Sawyers, they were nutbags. You know, they're crazy.
Sawyers?
Yeah.
Related to a Tom Sawyer?
No. You'll find out.
So she's like, wow, this is crazy. I hate my mom and dad, but now I have a grandma who's dead. But she left me stuff. Awesome. And so she talks to her boyfriend and her two best friends. And they're like, oh, that's, you know, crazy that you have a grandmother. But hey, you got, you know, inheritance coming. That's awesome. This is what we'll do. We'll cancel our trip to Louisiana for Halloween. And instead, we'll go to Texas and check out, you know, whatever it is that you're getting. And that's one thing that I didn't understand. The fact that it took place in Halloween. I'm like, was it the movie supposed to come out on Halloween? Does it have?
Because
sometimes when people put very specific things in movies and there isn't really much of an explanation, I can't help but sit there drunk in the theater and like focus on that one thing while the movie continues to play. And I'm like, what the fuck is this? It doesn't really come into play.
It happens all the time. Like, it reminds me of, do you remember Eli Roth's fake trailer for Thanksgiving in the Grindhouse? I don't know if you heard it or not. I just realized the last time I watched it, at the very, very like last second of the trailer, it says coming this February for Thanksgiving.
Well, at least it's like funny.
Yeah, I know, but that happens all the time.
Yeah, it does. So I'm like, was it supposed to be in Halloween? And like, time is like ticking. The reels are being changed, and I'm just like, this drunk. This doesn't fucking make any sense.
I mean, does it? It doesn't. Like, if a movie's about Christmas, does it have to come out around Christmas?
Well, no. But if it like took place during Christmas, it also doesn't have to be about Christmas. But like they said, oh, we're going here for Halloween.
Yeah, well,
like,
also, doesn't matter.
It could be spring break,
it could
or
be
what, it could just be like, because you want to go there.
But what the fuck's in Louisiana for Halloween anyhow? Like, if you were to tell me, like, voodoo. Oh, like, we're going to go to Salem for Halloween, I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, that makes sense. Salem is a destination spot for Halloween nerds.
Yeah.
I'm looking at you. Hey, I'm looking at you, Forrest.
Well, I guess just voodoo in general. But yeah, but that's what I mean. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Or even, like, why have it be about, like, oh, we'll cancel our plans to go here. Maybe they just
Do they ever, like, revisit the concept of Halloween? Like, of it being that time of the year?
It's just mentioned again.
But it's like, you never see, like, kids in costumes or any of that shit.
For like a couple seconds.
See, yeah, that would drive me crazy if they never use it again as part of the plot.
But even then, but even beyond that, it wasn't part of the plot. Like, a producer, a director had to like get kids and put them in costumes for like 3 seconds of footage, and there's nothing that goes with that. I don't understand.
Yeah, no, that should totally drive me nuts. Especially because if it doesn't like play into the story,
I have it.
Like the killer's in a costume, and that's why no one knows.
Right.
Yeah, you know, herp did her.
So these four youthful ragamuffins hop in their VW bus and they head to Texas.
Is it like a vintage VW bus?
No.
Oh,
okay. It might not have even been VW. I think it was, but it was new, whatever it was.
Okay.
But they hear the barbecue's good, which I thought was like a clever nod to the original couple movies.
Right.
So they get there and they meet this, like, lawyer who's, like, I don't know what the title is for the guy who handles the will
and
awards people, the executor.
The executor of the will, yeah.
Well, they meet him, who's played by Wilford Brimley, that's a lie.
Damn it.
I really, like, perked up.
I know, I got, like, a little half-boner.
I forget the guy's name, he was in Hatchet, the older guy with the mustache, you see him in stuff.
Oh, Tom Sienkowski from
The
Office?
Yeah, that guy. He's the executor, and he meets this group of 20-somethings at the property of the grandmother, and he says, well, this is all yours. There are some other things, too, that I'll have to forward, you know, information to you, but this is, like, the main thing, this house. And they go in through the front gate, and there's this long driveway, and here's the fucking first thing. Or second thing, I don't know, I can't remember. But, like, I focused on while being drunk, and it was funny to me. So it was like a Cape Fear moment where I'm in the theater laughing and other people are looking at me because I'm sort of drunk. And as they're going down this long, twisty driveway towards the house, three of the teens and the executor, or he may have left by now, but they're walking towards the house. And then the boyfriend's driving in the van the same speed behind them. And I'm like, why the fuck aren't you in the van?
That's a very good question.
Fuck in the van. And so, like, I said something in my head that was fantastic, and then I laughed heartily, and I'm sure I upset everyone.
Everyone was like, what the fuck is wrong with that guy?
They're walking.
No one even fell, and he's laughing.
Yeah, nothing happened. So they get to the house, and they look around. It's this huge old southern mansion. There's a lot of, like, ornate woodwork and, like, silver candelabras, and it's really fancy and really nice. And of course, you know, this Heather, this girl, she's like, oh my God, I grew up, never had anything. Now look at this crazy house. And, you know, I own all this. This is awesome. And her friends are, you know, looking over the house. There's her and her boyfriend and then another couple.
Okay.
And so the other guy says, wow, what did your grandma do for a living? And I'm thinking, it's in the South. This is like a 100-year-old house. She's old. Slaves, idiot. And that was another thing. Like, I said something in my mind that was along those lines, and I laughed out loud. It wasn't fucking funny to anybody else. Like, what do you mean when she did? She was old. She didn't do anything. What the fuck are you talking about? From that point on, you know, as they're investigating the house, alcohol gets introduced. I know this is rare for one of these type of, you know, slasher movies, I think they're called. Narcotics are being inhaled through the lungs and into the body so that a weird fuzzy thing happens to these characters that I don't understand. Also, nudity. No, actually, I take that back. There is a nudity. There's almost nudity. Oh. There are naked people rubbing each other with their bodies. I don't know. I'm not familiar with that one. I've never seen that in a movie either. Yeah, all the typical stuff starts to happen. There's music. There's drugs. There's doing it.
What was the music? Was it like classic rock? Or?
Oh no, it was hip hop.
Hip hop.
But I couldn't tell because I'm not familiar with those couple particular songs.
Okay.
But the boyfriend is like an R&B rap guy.
Oh, okay.
Is he white?
But he's like newer, so I didn't recognize him really. But I'm watching him play pool. Like he's just shooting around while people are looking over the house. And I'm like, I'm pretty sure he's like getting down to his own songs. Like I'm pretty sure they were his. And they just put them in the...
classic douchebag.
So he was probably like, "Oh, I'll only be in this movie if you know."
You guys want some sweet tunes on the radio? Yeah, I just got the CD over here.
So
it's my demo tape.
In all the debauchery and house touring, one of the dorks goes downstairs and there's this huge wooden door with an enormous skeleton key. It's like fake. Like if the mayor of the city gave you the key to the city, that's what it looks like. It's huge. And so he's curious. So he unlocks the door and he walks in and it's just like a wine cellar. And he's like, that's weird. Big creepy lock on this just, you know, wine cellar. And over in the corner is a door and it's a steel door. Like the door from the original, you know? And so he tries to jimmy it open and to no luck. And he turns to like get a tool, something he can wedge and pry it open. But he's interrupted with a club to the face, or a hammer maybe.
Oh no!
Leatherface is loose.
Dun, dun, dun.
Apparently, grandmother had lived there and sort of kept baby Leatherface, now Grandpa Leatherface, because it's been like 40 yeah, years since the original movie, locked down there, and he like, she fed him and took care of him and kept him under control, kept him from getting out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure she was a positive influence on his life, while like his earlier family like let him loose and told him to like kill girls and bring him back so they can make barbecue. She was rehabilitating him.
I see.
Apparently it didn't work because now he's loose.
Thanks a lot, Grandma. I know. Worthless old hag.
Old people. I
can't
tell
even you. Can't even nurture right anymore.
And, of course, he's still wearing his skin mask, and it's all creepy. And so one by one, even though they're only like four teenagers, four 20-somethings, he offs them all, except for Heather.
Mm-hmm.
She's the final girl. And so he's, you know, got his chainsaw, and he's chasing her around. Here's where the 3D got kind of interesting. There were some typical,
there's things coming into your face.
Yeah, shit like that. But there's one scene which you see on the trailer where she kind of clumsily climbs into a casket and closes it and tries to hide.
Right.
But he hears her crying. She's trying to be quiet, but she can't. And you hear him start the chainsaw up and, like, push it into the casket. And so you get to see, the three dimensions, it coming, like, from the side of the screen forward towards her, and then from her point of view, so like the chainsaw's coming at you.
Yeah.
And in a horror movie or a movie in general where 3D usually doesn't do anything other than adds like a little extra entertainment but no real
Friday
purpose.
Friday the 13th Part 3, I'm looking
at
you.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, like that's a good example where like popcorn popping at the screen and like dumb shit. Like why is this even happening? It kind of made it more like a thrill ride.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like now,
which
now,
is what 3D is supposed to
be. Right. Now things are coming at me, but for a reason. And if I weren't sitting drunk in this theater, I might be frightened if a chainsaw was coming at me. So, I mean, when it comes to the 3D in this movie, it's actually kind of okay. Like, I didn't mind it. You know, a lot of times, too, like, if there isn't an action sequence, then it's kind of, like, wasted 3D.
Right, yeah.
But I still didn't mind that this had 3D in it. Like, you know, I would have seen it in 2D, but the 3D was a nice touch. They used it where they should have.
Okay.
I don't know. It worked, I guess. Cool. It wasn't a disappointment, like a 3D.
Yeah. It sounds like a Piranha thing. Like the 3D just made it fun.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, it didn't need to be there, but the fact that it was enjoyable, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest problem with me in 3D is, like, always when you go and watch those scenes in non-3D,
yeah,
it's like,
it's
what's
very
the point?
Obvious
and it's also, it's like, what's the point of the scene? Other than it just being the 3D scene.
Right.
That's what I hate about it, because 3D is used for, like, thrill rides, and that's the fun. You go on a ride for, like, 30 minutes, and it's like, hey, this stuff was flying in my face. Fun.
Yeah.
But movies aren't really like that. Like,
yeah, right.
At least they shouldn't be, traditionally speaking.
But... Right. So, in certain instances, like, the film made room... Or made it available for the thrill ride elements. So
yeah,
it,
yeah. Okay.
It made more sense. So I like really appreciated that.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't just generically, you know, 3D. There was some thought behind it.
Mm-hmm.
So now we have Big Guy Chainsaw chasing little girl with a belly shirt. Let me move on to that.
Okay.
From the first time you see her, well, second time maybe, she's in this like cut off shirt so you can see her belly.
Uh-huh.
And of course, you know, she's attractive, otherwise she probably wouldn't be in the movie. One thing I want to point out, like a sub note, that her body type, like, remember that family guy thing where they talk about 70s boobs?
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, you know what they mean.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like a funny thing. Like, I looked at her body and the way she was shaped and carried herself. She looked like she could have been in, like, the 70s movie. Like, aside from, like, certain hairstyles and stuff.
Right.
But she had, like, the kind of flat hippie type, you know. And I'm
right.
Like, that's kind of weird.
It's so hard to describe.
That. Yeah,
but
I know.
When you say 70s body, I know exactly what you're talking about.
I know.
Yeah. You've watched enough slasher and horror movies that you can... Oh, yeah, okay, yeah.
So it's kind of like, I don't think they did it on purpose. But...
Well, actually, right. for the sake of the listeners, can you name off some actresses, other actresses that have, from movies from then that would...
I'm thinking like Marilyn Burns from the original Texas Chainsaw is like
yeah.
perfect example of a 70s like girl.
Yeah.
The two girls from Last House on the Left, they had that
yeah.
kind of like skinny hippie look.
Yeah,
is what I'm
skinny,
thinking of,
sort
you know?
Of like, like what's it called? The
hourglass
not,
type.
They're a little too thin for
thinner,
the hourglass.
Yeah, but they still like you can tell.
Yeah.
Can
also the hair.
It. They're not bony.
The girls
but...
back then had really really straight hair. Like
yeah.
there were, it wasn't like the 80s where everything was popped out to all like get out and everything.
Right.
It was like really long, just really, really straight hair, and that's like a 70s look for some
yeah.
I don't know.
I'm glad you mentioned the hair because her hair is sort of straight but kind of wavy.
Uh-huh.
This podcast is going in a weird direction.
We are.
It's
yeah.
like fashion tips
yeah,
so, and shit.
Yeah, you're like critiquing the female figure at this
well,
point.
No, we're just
again,
we're describing how like body types and hairstyles changed over the decades. It's important.
I am going somewhere
with this. I want you guys, for this episode, I want you guys to both post a picture of yourselves.
Okay, yeah.
Well, I am going somewhere with this. But, like you mentioned the hair, like her hair was sort of straight and long, but it was also kind of wavy. And because
right.
she was so thin, I'm like, she looks like a Tootsie Roll or something. Like she had this big head. I was drinking.
Wow.
But the reason I mentioned the belly, because there wasn't any nudity in this movie.
Yeah.
Later... she gets away from Leatherface and like she's saved by the police and they take her to you know the headquarters and get you know okay what happened who did what that sort of thing and they're like look your shirt's all covered in blood here let me give you this shirt and you can change and so it's like a button up shirt
mm-hmm.
and she looks fine for like 5 minutes until there's more running away from a killer and the bitch only buttoned the first fucking button so again her belly's out and like Halloween I'm like why is this even a thing why is this was that intentional
why is her belly always exposed
yeah
okay.
It was just something like I noticed and I'm like why is that she fucking I watched her button it what?
She wouldn't do any nudity for the movie so they had to take what they could get that's gonna
I
be my explanation
the director was like she's got one of them 70s bellies let's put it out there
Jesus.
Right before she gets picked up by the police, though, there's like a carnival in town. I guess it's for Halloween, but who the fuck would
hey.
Know?
See, the Halloween theme came in later on. Oh, who am
it
I kidding?
Did, yeah, I know. Carnivals happen in the summer.
Yeah.
But so she like climbs a fence and like is running around and she's like, oh my God, oh, he's right there, oh my God. And people are like in the ride or in the line for like cotton candy. I'm like, you don't see this bitch fucking flipping out covered in blood crying with a man
so,
with a chainsaw.
So it's like Prometheus.
Yeah. But so it was kind of funny like this. It was a fuck you to new horror movies, which I thought was
yeah.
really funny. So Leatherface just cuts his way through this chain link fence. And starts stalking her through this crowd.
With a chainsaw no one seems to care about.
Well, they pass a fake haunted house type of, you know. And this, like, little kid, this, like, 12-year-old, runs out with, like, a fake chainsaw, and he's dressed, like, with the pig mask from Saw. And he's, like, chasing people. And, like, a couple of the kids are scared and running from him. And then fucking Leatherface steps behind him, like, you know, five times as tall as this little fucking kid, revving like a real chainsaw, and little Saw runs off like, you know, shit in his pants, and I thought that was hilarious.
Maybe they made it Halloween just to have that one throwaway
joke.
That might
have been it, you know? Like,
it wouldn't make any sense to have a kid dressed as Jigsaw if it wasn't Halloween, so they just did it for that.
Fuck you, new movies. Old school. So, but I wasn't the only one who thought that was funny, thankfully. There were other chuckles. Not just my own drunken Bacardi laughs.
Yeah, just those other voices in your head.
Oh, well, you know, sometimes it isn't as easy to keep them at bay.
the alcohol lets them out.
So as she's running, you know, she gets picked up by the police.
Belly out.
Belly's happening. Yeah. She's at the the police station, and a couple, like the mayor's there because he can't believe what's going on, and the chief of police or whatever, they're talking in another room. Meanwhile, they have the Sawyer family, like, case book out, because it's not like when you get arrested, you have a file.
Right.
There's not a file for this family. It's like a box of
tome.
Paper. Yeah. And so while she's left
the
alone,
the annals
with it,
of the Sawyer family.
Yeah. So while she's left alone with it, she starts to leaf through, and. And it's, you know, like decades old reports of the events that happened in the first movie. And then a day or two later, the family is confronted by the police because they're like, okay, look, that, you know, that girl that got away, she called the cops. We're here to investigate. You need to give your boy up, Leatherface. Because, you know, we just can't, no one can turn a blind eye to this, you know.
Right.
While that conversation is happening, town folks show up. Uh-oh. And we have like the
lynch mob going on. Yeah.
Yeah. And so there's only like one or two police there. They can't control the crowd. They can't control the family because, you know, they're horribly outnumbered on both sides. What happens is the family's all shot and the house burns to the ground.
Damn.
Meanwhile, Leatherface was in his little metal room.
Yeah.
So he survived along with one baby girl. The mother with the girl escaped. She was later found killed, and the baby was taken as her own of that couple who, you know, adopted Heather.
Right.
That's where she learns, you know, the terrible truth of her past, her twisted, fucked up family, and she's like, oh my God, that's my cousin. Weird. The guy who led the lynch mob is the mayor, too.
Oh, boy.
And the head of the chief of police was, like, the deputy or whatever that showed up that day. So now we have, like, this full circle. Like, there's history with the family and the town. And so now the mayor's like, son of a bitch, we meant to kill him years ago. I didn't think we found his body, goddammit. We got to get him now. And so he's all like, action, we need him killed, blah, blah, blah. And the chief of police is like, no, we got to play this smart. We got to catch him. We got to, you know. Can't go in all guns blazing. Long story short, some more people die. I don't want to give away the ending because it is brand new.
Right, right.
But there is a moment where Heather, like, she's had enough. She turns from being the victim to the
perpetrator,
the predator, mm-hmm. so to speak. A little bit. I mean, she, you know, she doesn't like pick up a chainsaw herself.
Damn,
and start doing
that
stuff.
That would have been kind of awesome.
But there is this look in her eye, like her hair's all fucked up, and like her tears, like they're kind of welling in her eyes, but now she's like aggressive about it. Right. And I'm like, ooh, lordy lord. Like, oh man, this like airheaded girl with
her belly's all fierce.
Yeah. I'm like, she just, you know, went from helpless and idiotic to like something that I'm enjoying watching.
Well, that's kind of cool because that doesn't normally happen, right? In the genre, like the
no. A lot of times, I mean, there are final girls that like kill the killer or whatever.
But it's never like it's like all in defense. It's not like they switch roles,
right? And that's what it was pretty much like. This like she owns her heritage in a way. She becomes the Sawyer name, and I'm like, that's cool.
Yeah, that is actually that sounds pretty interesting.
So it wasn't bad. It wasn't what I thought it was. It was more interesting. When it comes to sequels, a lot of times they generically like it. I was talking to a friend, you know, Harvey, like I mentioned earlier.
Right. Yep.
I'm like, it's hard to come up with a good sequel idea for Texas Chainsaw. Because, like, Friday the 13th, they're married to that date, but as the sequels went on, they sort of weren't.
Yeah.
And then, like, they move Jason to New York.
And space.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah, and space.
Yeah, and, you know, a little thing called outer space.
So, you know, but I don't see being as creative with Texas
Chainsaw.
You
really can't.
Like, I know. And I'm like, and you can't even put it in a new setting because fucking Texas is in the title of the movie.
Right. Yeah, or a new weapon because Chainsaw is also in the name.
Right. So, I guess the one strong central theme that has been in the original, its sequels, and now this movie is the family.
Yeah.
So you have to continue the family in a new way, which this does.
I can't wait to, like, when it's, like, 3,000, like 3010, right? And they're doing the remake of Texas Chainsaw, but instead of like an old
seventh time,
right? But like with, like, you know, the modern remake, and so instead of like our traditional chainsaws, like some laser fucking photon chainsaw, like why can't we just make those movies now?
And now it'll be in 4D, so you can see through time when you watch the movie.
I don't think anyone would believe.
I would love to see some directors like take the idea of what would our horror movies that today look like remade in like 3010.
Yeah,
and just like go so dumb with it. It would be kind of incredible to watch though, because it would be like in this like futurist, like other planets, other like, and just really go crazy with it, and like everyone's in dumb spacesuits. I would love it. I would love it.
I think my main like complaint about this, because pretty much I say go see it if you're a fan of the franchise of Leatherface, check it out. Mm-hmm. It's not as bad as I expected. It's not as bad as other sequels or whatever. But the main thing is kind of an important thing. I overlooked it because I was drunk and I kind of expected it. But the people in the movie, when they look at each other and they move their mouth and words come out, they're fucking dumb.
Like, so I was like, where's he going? Where's he going with this?
So the boyfriend of this girl and the other girl – he's being like seduced by her or whatever, and then Leatherface attacks, and she, because it's Texas I guess, looks over in the corner and there's a shotgun. She says, "Welcome to Texas, motherfucker," and shoots at Leatherface.
Really?
He's from Texas. You're being welcomed by him. What are you talking about? There's also another thing where they're trying to escape in their little hippie van, and at the front
the
entrance,
mystery mobile.
Yeah, the front entrance of the property has a gate, and so you have to like enter a number for it to open to get in, and then on the way out, there's like a pressure pad or something, and they're like, "Wait, you have to wait for the gate to open," and he says, "Fuck that," or whatever, and he tries to drive through it. And it ruins his van, and he doesn't get through it. And I'm like, what the fuck were you thinking? It opens. You're in a car. Leatherface is, like, way behind you. Stop doing things. He died, and I felt better.
Well, good.
One other little thing. When Heather's at the police station, and she's like, oh, my God, oh, there's this guy and his chainsaw, and all my friends are dead. My friends and my family are dead. She didn't say anything that sounded like that. She said, they died. You have to go get them. It's terrible. Like, there was no emotion. Like, shouldn't you be afraid? You're safe right now. But, you just watch them with chainsaws in their bodies, like, squirting blood and guts everywhere. These are the only people you knew.
It's like, all Texas.
Like, what the fuck? Don't you... Aren't you... Still check it out. There's a fun scene at the beginning. Actually, the shootout where the family kind of like burns to death is at the very beginning, and it has clips from the original movie.
Oh, nice!
Like touched up digitally, and so they're 3D too, and they looked really cool. It was kind of fun to see the old movie like that, like new again. But also during that scene where they're shot and set ablaze, Gunnar Hansen and Bill Moseley play family members. So it was kind of fun just to see them in another movie where they weren't, you know, they're normal characters.
Right.
So yeah, that was that. I recommend it. The 3D wasn't offensive. There are no boobies, but you see plenty of 70s belly.
This movie is actually number one in the theaters right now. It's the first movie to topple The Hobbit, I think.
That's cool.
That seems pretty easy to do.
I guess. But they said that a surprising majority of the people that went to see it are women, which I don't know really how they determine those demographics, or they don't do like
they
gender
don't.
Scans
they just
or whatever.
Lie.
But,
they're
well,
lying.
But I guess like after theater interviews or whatever like that with audience members. But supposedly a lot of women are going to see this, which kind of surprises me. But I don't know why.
It's like, the new urban legend.
I think it's a phallic thing.
Freddy Krueger
has a bunch of little knives on his hands. You know, Michael Myers has a butcher knife. Jason has a machete, but fucking this guy's got a huge chainsaw he's wielding around. He'll stick that in her. Put it where it hurts, make her squirt. Oh, yeah.
Oh, all right.
On that note,
this
is Slaughter Film, and be sure to check out our site. Oh, yeah, and we also have a... Talking from people. There are a couple quick comments.
Pump the brakes, Forrest.
Wordies from word people.
Wordies from word people.
It was with people who type things in a computer and they send it over the wires and do the tubes and somehow we get it to us
it's
and
magic.
They might read it.
Well, Bob's got a computer. She puts some games on. They're from a couple of our regulars, Matthew Stewart. He mentions it in our Django review. There's a scene where Django meets an Italian man who asks him about his name, and we suspected that it was the original Django.
Somebody, yeah. I thought it was the director of the original Django. But,
I know, and then
I
you said that to me, and I'm like, did I read that wrong?
No, I think you're right. I think it was the guy who played Django.
Yeah, his name was Franco Nero.
Yeah.
So
I knew it was somebody. I knew it had to be somebody that Tarantino
admired.
Oh, yeah,
it had to have been for a reason, because Tarantino is smart enough not to have it take place during Halloween for no reason at all. and then Gex... referring to our
first video review since 1972.
Yeah, our Gremlins review. We mentioned how Gremlins may have had a hand in the invention of PG-13 rating.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I think they should have never made PG-13 because now PG kind of means nothing.
Yeah, it is kind of a useless rating because that's why PG was invented. It meant parental guidance. You know, your parents have to be there when this movie's out because there's extreme stuff. But apparently... that wasn't enough, so now there's this 13 one in there, too.
Yeah.
And yeah, back in the day, PG rated movies were hardcore. Like, they said fuck, and sometimes they showed nudity
yeah,
and
so,
stuff.
Right,
but,
so this, I actually had this conversation with someone recently, and I was under... I remember watching Slapshot.
Oh, yeah.
A long time ago, and looking at it, because there's nudity in that. Mm-hmm. There's, like, there's exposed breasts, Corey.
Oh,
yes,
boy.
There are.
So anyhow, and I remember looking at it, and it was rated PG, but recently I went and looked at it, and it's
now
rated R.
Yeah, it got re-rated.
Right.
Yep.
But, that's like, lame. They were like, no, that movie was never rated PG. And it's like, no, man, like, back in the day, the PG just meant, like, hey, this might have adult material in it.
Yeah.
Like,
right. Make sure that your kids don't watch it alone.
Yeah, because you really only need the three. You know, one's for kids, G, one's for, like, teenagers and older, PG.
And then one's for adults.
Right.
Yeah. Right. And like,
what's the difference? Like PG-13, and then you have to wait 3 more years to see R.
And what's so bad about breasts?
Nothing, but we live in a puritanical society,
right.
So that's a bad.
Yeah, I understand. But like,
you're only allowed to look at them when you're a baby and when you're old.
Yeah, but like,
you're not allowed to see them in between.
Right? Exactly. Yeah, and then it's just funny because like. I mean, there are tons of PG movies where there's, like, tons of killing and stuff like that.
Dude, Jaws. Like, so many people I talk to will not believe that Jaws is rated PG. Like, everyone I talk to thinks that it's R. I'm like,
but
nope,
Slapshot,
it's PG.
Slapshot, which is a pretty happy-go-lucky comedy.
Yeah.
With some exposed breasts and maybe some mild language. Yeah. R.
There's some hockey fights, you know.
Now, if people, like, take that whole idea that, you know, watching violence in movies makes you violent.
Yeah.
What's their argument for nudity?
That'll turn them into like sex fiends,
right?
Or something.
Well, I mean, seeing violence might make you want to commit violence. So seeing nudity doesn't that make you want to be nude?
Apparently, yeah. It'll turn our kids into hippies.
and then like on top of that, it's like you never even see penises ever.
Yeah. No,
like
only in arty foreign films
I think if there's a penis in an American film, I think
that's an automatic NC-17.
Yeah, automatic NC-17. Right.
Except for when Jason Segel's involved.
I have to admit that they aren't pleasant to look at. Not even just as a man, but like weird hangy skin hair. Like that's fucking no one wants to see. Women don't want to see that.
But the point that's just the point is like breasts.
It's
ass,
all it's
fine.
All rested in like puritanical.
But one
sentiments.
Dick. One dick. One exposed peni.
I do think it's kind of interesting how like women's breasts, legs, ass are sexual.
Yeah.
A man's ass is used
it's
for
like
comedy.
Comical, yeah.
Like, when does that...
There are whole, like, theses written about that sort of thing.
It's just
you know?
strange. Like how certain body parts, dictate certain responses. Yeah. Apparently,
I think.
And we
I
wonder why there are so many lesbos.
That's right.
It's all bullshit.
Oh, absolutely.
All of it is total bullshit.
But I could do a whole nother podcast just talking about that. Yeah. You know?
So. Urban legends and the rating system. Next podcast.
Oh yeah, but that's pretty much it, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So now be sure to check out slaughterfilm.com for news and reviews. And also, if you're not a local listener, tell us about some of like your town's like urban legends. I love to hear about them because I know every town has one. So
yeah, seriously.
Let's share the stories.
So yeah, if you have any other comments or questions, make sure to email us, post a comment on our website, whatever way you can get a hold of us. One of these days I'll actually come up with a thing that I say here, but usually it's, hey, write it somewhere, we'll read it sometime.
Yeah. Later, dudes.
Goodbye.
This edition of Slaughter Film has been brought to you by our producer, John Linvay, introduced by me, Ricky Morrow, and music by Xeno Genocide.